Well, we certainly thank the Lord this morning for salvation, for His extreme goodness to us all. The Lord went to the extreme, and I thank the Lord for that this morning. Appreciate that He didn't just try a little bit, but He tried a lot. That He didn't just woo us a little, but He wooed us with all His heart, and all His soul, and all His very being. So I thank the Lord for that this morning, that God was very faithful to me and very faithful to you, and that He extended Himself beyond anything that we could be worthy of and certainly anything that we could have imagined. So thank the Lord this morning for the Lord Jesus Christ and His wonderful salvation. I want to share some thoughts with you and maybe probe within our own hearts and our minds and our experiences with the Lord. You know, each one of us today have an experience with the Lord. We're either with Him or we're against Him, I suppose. Sometimes we get with the Lord and we walk with Him, but that walk could be closer. Sometimes we walk totally contrary to the Lord, totally contrary. I want us to look at ourselves this day and consider a little thought about being found of the Lord, walking parallel with Him, walking parallel with the Lord. Not perpendicular or not at an angle, but walking parallel with the Lord Jesus Christ down this path of life and in the plan of salvation. Scripture came to my mind that we know well over in Amos, the 7th chapter and the 7th verse. As we examine the Word of God this morning, and as God would help us in the message, that I would that every one of us look at our own selves and look at our own hearts and look at our own minds. It's the ladder. We want to climb the ladder in a way that the Lord would accept the way we climb. That we don't try to go up on the backside of the ladder, or that we try to get another ladder, or that we try to just all of a sudden one day we're just going to be propelled by the, up to the top without any effort on our part. But that we would climb the ladder with the Lord Christ, that we would climb it in such a way that He would accept us when we got there. Because you know, folks, we can live down here ever so carefully in our own mind and in the estimations of other people, but it's what God considers of our life. It's what God says that at the end of the way. But in the meantime, in the interim, we're climbing. And in the interim, we want to go in the way the Lord has called us to go. And we want to go in a parallel route. We don't want to go in a catty corners or some angle that will cross the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Lord, help us as we look at the Word today that we would consider our own self. Lord, how am I walking with You? How am I living with You? How is my experience? You know, sometimes our experiences just get completely gone with the Lord, and we're enemies of the Lord. Lord, help us today to look and be honest with ourselves. The Lord in His faithfulness knew that we was going to need some guidelines. He knew we were going to need some help. And He knew that if we tried to establish that in ourselves, oh mercy, wouldn't that be a mess? What if every one of us, or if we divided ourselves up into groups of 10 here today and said, okay, we're going to work out a plan. Wouldn't that be a conglomeration of things? My, my, what all that would bring in. We'd bring in things that was irrelevant to salvation, and we'd leave out things that were very critical. We'd just have a hodgepodge of ideas, but no righteousness, no strength, no grace, and no glory. So the Lord in His mercy said, I will help you. I will give you a guide. I'll give you a plumb line. And listen to what He said, Amos 7 and 7, I believe. Thus He showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in His hand. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, Lord, I see a plumb line. He said, I set a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not again pass by them any more. The high places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste, and I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Thank the Lord in His mercy. He said, I will come and visit you, and I will establish a covenant, and I will establish a way, and I will establish truth, and I will establish righteousness. I will establish a way and a means whereby you can be saved and you can be delivered, that you can be holy, that you can be clean, that you can be happy, that you can enjoy life, that you can enjoy the saints, that you can enjoy your family, that you can be a person that walks with me and talks with me and enjoys the strength, the joy of my strength in your life, that you can be free, that you can incorporate me in your life, that I can indwell in you, that I can be part of you, and you can be part of me. That's what God wants. That's part of what God wants. He wants us to be totally in Him. Well, in order to do that, He said, I'll establish a way that you can measure yourself, that you can govern yourself, that you can judge yourself, that you can look upon yourself and see whether you are walking parallel with me. That's my words. Walking parallel with me, or whether you're at an angle, where you're at a difference with me, or where you're going to miss that top rung when you try to get there. Lord, help us today to recognize God has set forth His Word, His Spirit, His truth, and His life for you and me. Now, what are we doing with it? I find the challenge many times, it's not on what God has done, but it's what we're doing, what God has done. It's how I'm availing myself, how I am measuring myself, how I am comparing myself, how I'm applying myself. Folks, we have to apply ourselves to this thing that we call salvation. We have to enjoy the kingdom of God, not just from a head knowledge, but from the very heart, soul, mind, and spirit that we enjoy being here. And folks, I've found things that we enjoy, we want to do it again. I find things that we find pleasure in, we don't want to give it up. When I see something I want and I really want it, I start thinking, now how can I go about getting that? Sometimes in this life I'm disappointed. Sometimes in physical things, temporal things, I have to realize, well, that's above my reach. I might as well quit shooting for that. But when I realize the things that God has prepared for you and me, the blessings He has given us, and I find they are attainable in this life, oh, we want to be challenged to reach out to them, not stop short of that top rung, not get up on that ladder somewhere and say, it's just too hard, it's not, I don't know what to do, I don't know which way to go. God help us to recognize He has established a plumb line whereby we have a way that we can walk in as truth and holiness. So then I find I have a responsibility to walk parallel with the Lord, to walk with Him and not with this world. He said that He would, in His endeavoring to send this plumb line and in His desire to establish the plumb line of this way of righteousness, this way of the truth, He said He would tear down or take down the high places of Isaac. They'll be desolate. And the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. And He would rise up against the house of Jeroboam with a sword. I thought on that a little bit, and I thought mankind's way. That's me and you. Sometimes we think about mankind as being the other guys. But mankind is you and me. We're the mankind. And He said He's going to lay those places desolate. Lord, help us this morning to consider this fact that you and me have no righteousness of our own. We have no criteria to judge ourselves by. We have nothing within ourselves. We have no holiness. We have no grace. We have no righteousness. We have no real truth. Everything about us, when we come down to us without the Lord, is a very selfish identity. And we will govern ourselves according to what pleases and what is safest and what is the most enjoyable for the flesh and the easiest way out. We'll lay the ladder at a greater angle, perhaps. Or we'll just say, it's not worth the climb and I'll stay down here and justify ourselves in it. Lord, help us this morning to see how we're walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. And to recognize that our ways are filthy rags. Filthy rags. Lord, help us this morning that we recognize, be honest with yourself. If you're choosing your way today, God said it's filthy rags. If you have determined that you're going to live your life according to the criteria you've established and the world has established, it's filthy rags. Lord, help us today to be very, very careful that we walk with Him in a way whereby we don't go about to establish our own righteousness, our own truth, our own way. Satan comes along, he's a pretty good convincer, isn't he? He can really talk to you and tell you why you can do what you want to do. That's sometimes what it comes down to, is we're doing what we want to do. A lot of times people in their homes are having trouble. You know what? A lot of times one of them at least is doing what they want to do. Oh, they kind of lament the bickering. They kind of lament the fact that they kind of lay down at night together and turn over the opposite directions and kind of go off to sleep that way. They kind of lament that a little bit. But you know what? If they really wanted to do something about that, they'd change some things. They'd go to work on it. Ultimately, we do what we basically want to do. God help us that we don't go about and establish our own righteousness, our own way. He talks about that in Romans, and they erred, and they didn't receive what God had for them. I want this morning that you and I recognize there is a way to walk. And God in His mercy has established that plumb line. And we can build a building with it. We can build on the foundation that's sure and steadfast. We can build a building that will be to the glory of God. Challenge yourself this morning. Is my building a glory to God? Have you ever been found in a place or in a way that you didn't really want to be found? Isn't that embarrassing? Maybe you're supposed to be doing something at work and you stayed up late the night before the baby was crying. Whatever happened, you had company come in, you hadn't seen them in a while, and you stayed up real late. Then you had to go off to work at 7 o'clock and get up around 5:30 or 6 and trot off to work. Somebody walks in and you haven't got your head down on your desk asleep, but you're just pretty well in another world. You're kind of just sitting there they come in and you have to start perking up and it's obvious that you hadn't been where you're supposed to be in your mind, that you're somewhere else. And isn't it kind of embarrassing? Isn't it kind of embarrassing to get to be found in a way that you don't really want to be found in? Isn't it kind of embarrassing when someone knocks on your front door and said, "Oh, I just thought we'd drop in." And you get that house kind of cluttered up. Maybe you hadn't picked up from the children playing or something. And you get, that's embarrassing, isn't it? You know the Lord's going to come back one of these days. He comes every day, as a matter of fact. He comes every day to us. And He wants us to look at ourselves and see how we're being found of Him. Am I being found walking with Him? Am I in honesty walking with Him? I want to challenge you this morning, whoever you are, to look at your own self and be very honest with yourself. How do I compare to what the God of heaven is coming back looking for? How am I found of Him exactly where I am right now in this place at this time and in my current situation of life, whatever it is? How is my thought patterns compared to the thought patterns of the Lord? How is my words? How is my actions? How is my deeds? How is the very things that I think, feel, see, hear? How is it compared to what the Lord is requiring of me today? And many times, if we're not careful, we'll go about and we'll establish something that the Lord never had anything to do with. And we'll start judging ourselves. Lord, help us today. If you're having troubles in your life, if you're having trouble in your marriage, if you're having trouble with your parents, if you're having trouble with your children, if you're having trouble on the job, if you're having trouble in the church, if you're having trouble with your relationship with the Lord, you know what I'd ask you to do is stop and measure yourself to the plumb line. See if your words, your thoughts, your deeds are what God is asking you to do in that particular situation. You know what you'll probably most likely find? That you're kind of at an angle. You've kind of leaned to your own understanding. You've leaned to your own thinking. The Lord help us today. Read with me over in 1 Corinthians for a moment, the 4th chapter. How are you found today? Are we found walking with the Lord? Are we found in the beauty of His holiness, or have we been found walking in our own ways? Lord, help us to be honest with ourselves concerning this. He said in the 4th chapter of 1 Corinthians, talking about the stewards of the Lord, He said, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Lord, help us that when God comes down to visit you, when He comes down in His camp meeting, when He comes down in your home, that He finds you faithful. That He finds you listening, that He finds you watching, that He finds you praying, that He finds you dressed in the holy attire of Jesus Christ, that you've not been making provisions for the flesh. That's what we get in trouble with so many times in our life. We start making provisions for me. We start making provisions for my attitudes, for my feelings, for my carnal desires. We start making provisions for things that are totally unlike God. And we find ourselves at that point beginning to feel uneasy before the Lord. And our prayer life suffers. You know, you get uneasy with the Lord, and if you're not real honest, your prayer life starts suffering. Because when you go to the Lord in honesty before Him, start praying and wanting His blessings and wanting His directions, God's faithful and He'll start telling you those things. He'll start telling you about the little ways that you have, or the thoughts you had, or the words you're saying, or the things that's deficient in your life. It's not like Him. So if you're not really honest before the Lord, you get uncomfortable at that point. You know, you just get uncomfortable. God help us to be honest before the Lord and love Him, that it doesn't hinder our prayer lives. Because if we really love Him, we'll keep His commandments. And when we really love Him, we'll go to Him in prayer and say, "Lord, how is your servant?
How am I doing? What's wrong with me? I have this feeling. I have this emotion. I have this need. Lord, what's wrong with me? And God can minister to you then. But you know, sometimes we start walking a little less than parallel with the Lord Christ. And you know what happens? We start neglecting things. Because some way or another, we just don't really want to be corrected. I have enough faith in Christ this morning that He can and will correct us. But you know what happens? People have trouble being corrected. I do. Without the Lord, I always want to say, well, my way is right. You know, someone come and tell me about, well, you could do it better this way. There's a tendency in mankind to say, what do you mean? I've done it this way. I'm going to do it this way. And start defending a position that really has no true defense when you compare it to true light. When you compare it to the real way it should be done, the most efficient way, the best way, the clearest way, the way that the light shines on it in its all its fullness, there's really no defense for another way. God help us to put down the other ways. He said He was going to take those places and lay them waste. Lord, help us today to compare ourselves to the plumb line. If we find ourselves less than where we ought to be, say, yes, Lord, that's me. Lord, I want to measure to the true light that lighteth every man's soul that cometh into the world. Oh, Lord, help us. You know what He said in another place? He said they didn't receive Him because their deeds were evil. They loved darkness more than light because their deeds were evil. God, help us not to fall in love and have a love affair with darkness. You know, darkness comes in different shades, but it's still darkness. Darkness comes in ways that maybe kind of you think, well, this is not so bad. Lord, help us to hold true to God's Word, hold true to holiness and righteousness and purity, hold true to modesty and divine healing, that we hold true to the unity and oneness of God's people, that we raise our children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, teaching them holiness and righteousness and purity, that we not look back on the world and say, oh, the garlics and the leeks, and all the cucumbers over there that I could be having if I was back over there. God forbid. Let's remember Lot's wife and never look back, saints. But let's look forward. Let's go on with Jesus Christ. Let's live the life the Word demands us. Let's be faithful where we are. Let's be found faithful in our post of duty. Let's be faithful in our pew. Let's be faithful in our home. Let's be faithful in our relationship with Christ. Let's be faithful wherever we are. If the seasons come and the seasons go, sometimes it's rosy and sometimes it's gloomy. God help us to be faithful right there. Sometimes we just feel so good in our body we don't have a problem. Sometimes we have a backache, a headache, and sometimes we get deathly ill. God help us to be faithful right there. Wherever we are, saints, this is not a way of sometimes. This is a way of all the time. This is not a way of all inconvenience, but all in times of necessity also. This is a day that we're going to serve the Lord. Walking parallel with Him, not walking contrary to Him. Oh, God, help us to be found faithful. Listen, that'd be a good epitaph, wouldn't it? This man, this woman was faithful. Oh, Lord, He promised us something. He said, be thou faithful unto death. And what? Oh, praise God. You know, I was in the service here, I guess back home last Wednesday night, and we was talking about maybe the different things. Lord, the streets of gold, the walls of jasper, and the crown of life, etc., and different little thoughts is coming out about it. Surely we know the Lord has to relate those things to something that we can relate to. But I tell you what, I know one thing. There's something better than a crown up there. There's something better than streets of gold. There's something better than walls of diamond. But the Lord told me about it. I want to go there and I want to see it. But folks, we're going to have to be found faithful. We're going to have to be like Paul. You know what he said he did? He said, I give myself a punch under the eye. That's discipline, folks. He said, I bring my body under subjection, lest after I have preached to others, I myself will be a castaway. You know, we have to do that. And God has sent the standard. And God has sent the Word. And God has sent His Spirit. And God sends us camp meetings. God sends us revival. God gives us His Word, and He wants us to study that. That's the plumb line, folks. Lord, help us to walk parallel with that. Walk parallel with that. That we be found faithful. I had a little illustration I'd like to draw on the board. This, folks, is perpendicular line. It may not come out that way, but I want you to imagine that that's the plumb line, okay? That's exactly plumb. Use your imagination.
There's the plumb bob. Okay? And come down to us.
Then I got to thinking about you and me as Christians. You and me as mankind. You and me as people. Just people. You've got people that are truly faithful. Oh, let's see. That's what God wants. If we walk along with the Lord, He wants us to be parallel with Him, okay? There again, make allowances for my lack of being too plumb and withdrawing. But God is looking for people to walk parallel with Him. Walk in a way that's right. Walk in a way of truth. And when God sees us up here and He's able to make corrections with us, that down here we can have the same distances we have up here. The distances will be the same. That we don't grow away from the Lord. Now, I know we can think about the Lord in us and us in the Lord, and I surely don't want to take away from that, but I'm thinking right now, as we go down this path of life, that we walk in a way that's paralleled, in the way of truth, the way of right, the way of holiness, in accordance with the plumb line that came down from the God of heaven. Then I got another little thought. You got some people that's walking this way. Just outright sinners. They don't make any bones about it. They'll tell you maybe there's not even a God to send a plumb line down. They don't make any bones about it. Caught up in an old filthy habit. Don't want to get out of it, perhaps. Have no faith to get out of it. Just rank sinners. Just everyday sinners. Then you got some people over here, I don't know how we'll draw this, but they're kind of like this. Different directions, I don't know, whatever you want to think about. This different direction. Well, let's see, some's over here, and they're kind of leaning this way. They've just kind of got all kind of little angles on their life. What's the angle on your life? What's the slant on your life? Where are you allowing self to cause a little cant? Where are you allowing the tree to get bent? Where are you allowing an intrusion of the flesh? Where are we allowing a little pulling of this world? Where are we allowing the world to have a little influence on us? Where are we allowing the magnetism of society, the pollution of our minds? Where are we allowing the inventions of science? Where are we allowing the inventions and the innovations in the medical world? Where are we allowing these things in our life to have a little magnetism to us and get us to leaning away from that plumb line and walking in a perpendicular, a parallel line with the Lord Jesus Christ? I want us to look at ourselves. Where am I leaning? What's the angle? Where am I leaning out here from the Lord? Every one of these lines, though different, other than these three, all of these lines have one thing in common. Well, maybe more than one, but one that's in my mind right now. And these people over here, these are us, or you, or me, or whoever that has a profession. I love Jesus. I love the saints. I want to go to heaven, and et cetera. We know how to say the right things, do the right things, dress the right way. But inside there's some dead men bones. Inside there's some things that's just not right, and God's working with us, but we won't relinquish those. We're trying to get by on our own way, our own righteousness. So that's these folks over here. They hadn't just finally totally give up and said, I'm a sinner. But they've got a profession or they've got a relationship with the Lord, but it's less than what God wants it to be. It could even be a little more parallel than some of these. Like that, perhaps. One thing all these lines have in common, though. They will cross the plumb line somewhere. At one point somewhere, you project them on up far enough and high enough, and they'll cross truth. They'll cross truth. They'll violate the standard of holiness. They'll violate the standard of righteousness. They will violate the standard of divine trust. They will come in and allow enough of a cant, enough of an angle whereby we cross the Lord Jesus Christ and the plumb line and the standard that He has set up for you and me. We cannot make any provisions for the flesh in this spiritual life. We must be dead to sin. We must let our bodies be sacrificed on the altar of prayer. We must put our way out of the way. God help us today. Because every one of these ways, at some point in some time, will get you to the point where you have crossed the boundaries, the plumb line, and the truth of God's Word, and you miss that last rung that you so desperately want to cling to and hold to and make heaven your home. God help us to recognize Satan went out to deceive the very elect if he could. And if he can plant in my mind or your mind one little doubt, one little shred of compromise, one little dot of unbelief, one little thing of questioning God and His church and His people, one little doubt of suspicion, one little doubt of rumors, one little doubt of any kind, He's got an angle on your life. He has caused you and me to head off in the wrong direction, and it'll catch up with us, saints. God help us to run to Him and say, Lord, I've let this thing come into my life. I've allowed this thought process to go on. I've allowed this thing to come in, and I didn't get rid of it. And now I recognize it is something in me that's unlike you. I must get rid of it in order to make heaven my home. The pride of life, oh, it will come in any way, folks. Pride will come in our humility. Pride will come in us thinking that we're more like Christ than the next fellow. Pride will come in and lift it. Pride is a condition of the heart, folks. It's not always, if any time, a manifestation. Oh, it's manifest itself. But pride is a condition of the heart. Oh, God, if we're going to be truly humble, we can't be proud in our humility. One little doubt. One little speck. One little fox coming along nibbling on the vine. So I want to ask us this morning, be honest. How do we compare to the plumb line? How do we compare? Is there a shadow of turning? Is there a little variableness there? Do we make excuses? Is life being less than what you want it to be, and God has shown you some things that you could do different? God has come along and said, you know, you're good at blaming the other fellow. You're good at blaming your wife or your husband or the church or the preacher. You're good at blaming the boss. You're good at blaming other people. But have you really just stopped and said, wait a minute. What's the source of my problems? What's the true source of my unhappiness? Where am I really battling? What is really causing the disturbance? Is it what I perceive other people are doing, or is it how I relate to other people? Is it the things I have been told, or is it the way I've been listening? Oh, God, help us to tune our ears to Him. You know, the Bible says not to receive an accusation against the elder, lest it be in the established in the, what helped me there, in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Do we sometimes find ourselves taking the first rumor that comes along? And that old seed of doubt and that old seed of suspicion gets planted? God help us. We don't want to deviate from the word of the Lord Christ. How are we found today? I just jotted down some ways sometimes, if we're not careful, that I call them dangerous places to be found, the dangerous ways to be found in. Do you remember the story in Daniel about the old king? Had a feast, and he brought out the instruments of the temple of Jerusalem there. Got to banqueting and reveling and orgying and all these things and drunken and everything. There was a handwriting came on the wall, a hand that appeared and writing on the wall, and it said, weighed in the balance, found woman. Folks, that's a bad way to be found this morning. God, in His mercy, would say to you today, you're weighed in the balance and found wanting. Would that trouble you? Or would you say, well, Lord, you're bound to be wrong? You know, sometimes we wouldn't tell the Lord that for anything, but sometimes God, in His mercy, comes down and says, you're weighed in the balance, found wanting. And you know what? We don't do anything about it. We don't do anything about it. We just keep right on going. Remember, if He comes up right here and says, you're weighed in the balance, you know what's His mercy? That's His love reaching out to us. And if we're not careful, at some point, we're going to cross over. And we're going to miss what we really want in this life. We're going to miss heaven. So weighed in the balance. This morning, look at yourself. Are you been weighed in the balance? Is there sin ruling in your life? Are you wanting the righteousness and the lack the righteousness of Jesus Christ in your life? Do you lack that soft answer? Do you lack that ability to turn your head from evil? Do you lack that ability that God gives you to be an overcomer through Jesus Christ? He said, you've been found, weighed in the balance, and found wanting. In 2 Peter,
thought we want to look at for a moment. 2 Peter 1 and 9. But he that lacketh these things, and he's talking about adding to our faith virtue and knowledge and temperance, patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and charity, etc. Said, if these things be in of us and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. God help us to be fruitful, to want to be fruitful. And if we find us lacking, that we be challenged to do something about it. Help us to accept the challenge to do something about our unfruitfulness. Help us, oh God, to accept the challenge when you come down and say, I have a few things against you. We know when God speaks to us. God is able to make His displeasure known. What are we doing with it? Oh, Lord, help us to be on fire from the Lord like we heard and have that burning fire within us. That, oh, Lord, I'm so sorry that I grieved you. And do everything. Godly sorrow worketh repentance not to be repented of again. It produces a clearing. Do you remember that? It produces a clearing within us. We want to clear it out. Get it out. Get away with that kind of thinking, that attitude, those things, that old fault-finding spirit, that old backbiting spirit, that old thing that got in us and we gave in to. We want to clear ourselves of that. May God help us. He said, but he that lacketh these things is blind. That's a bad place to be in. How are you going to follow a plumb line if you're blind? How are you going to measure to the level of God's word if you're blind, spiritually? May the Lord see us today as we are, and He does, and may we make any necessary corrections. May we humble ourselves before Him and have forgotten and cannot see afar off and have forgotten that He was purged from His sins. Oh, Lord, help us not to have that lack of vision, because He said in doing so, we perish. We perish. And I find so often that we are so susceptible to looking the other way at our own self. Oh, yeah. We're susceptible to looking our other way when it comes to our children. Sometimes we can be the people of influence. Sometimes we can be, if we're not careful, we can look the other way. But we must have a true vision of Jesus Christ. And we must be true to ourselves and honest with ourselves and faithful to ourselves. And if you're not, and if I'm not, then we're getting that little level, that little angle. We're getting that little camp. And we're going to miss what we really want most of all. Other ways that if we're not careful, we can cross the line. There was a man, the Lord said, I want you to go over here to this city and preach. Because they're wicked. I'm going to destroy them. And I want you to go and warn Nineveh, Jonah. I want you to go tell them. Well, Jonah had a good idea in his mind. That's how it is with us sometimes. We think we've got a good idea. Jonah said, well, I know what I'll do. I'll go the other way, and I will hide. People hide from the Lord. People hide from doing God's service. People hide from God talking to them. You know, sometimes you do this with children. You've done this with employees. Maybe you've done it, and others have done it to you. We don't want to look people in the eye. Or we know we got a little correction coming, and we just conveniently are not there. You know? You know, something's going to come down on the job the next day and we don't want to be there. Oh, I've got a headache. People are people, folks. People are people. Don't exclude yourself from the commonwealth of people without the grace of God. Because you'll get a headache too when the Lord wants to talk to you. You'll find a ship going another way when God wants to talk to you. Only by the grace of God do we put ourselves in a place where God can use us on any line and in any way to be a witness for Him, to be a testimony for Him, to put ourselves and our lives and our homes, our future on the altar. Only in Christ do we do that. We do not do it in our virtue of our own selves. We're people, and we will run and hide. Jonah went and hid. The dangerous place to be found. Adam and Eve. Remember them? They're the one that kind of started this thing. You remember what happened when they were found without clothes? Naked? They had eaten of the forbidden tree. And they knew they weren't parallel with God. So here comes God. Cool of the earth. He already knew. He come walking down there among them. Couldn't find them. Didn't know where they were at. He knew. They thought he did.
Adam! God still calls us, folks. Praise His holy name. Adam, where art thou? Over here, Lord. You know, He had to cause a great storm for Jonah, but He loved Jonah. He loved the people of Nineveh. Folks, God will send storms to shake us. He will send storms to awaken us. He will send storms to discover our hiding places. He will send storms that you and I might recognize our dependency and our need upon Him and make those corrections that's necessary to be parallel with Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Praise His holy name. If you're not where God wants you to be and you've got adversities, maybe God is trying to use that to get you back to where your thinking is right. If you got troubles in your home and in your marriage, if you got troubles on the job, oh, let those things work in your favor to recognize your need. Instead of saying him or her or them. Well, anyway, Adam and Eve said, here I am. Here we are over here. I can see the Lord saying, well, Adam, what you over there for? Then they had to confess. The humiliation of confession. But folks, that's the way back. We try to hide from confession. We try to hide from saying, it's me. The Lord's got a good way to bring us that point if we'll allow it. You remember David and Bathsheba? You remember the sin they committed? You remember Uriah that was killed, murdered, if you will? Do you remember how the Lord dealt with that? I believe the Bible says out of our own mouths or something like that. We'll be judged or something like that. Well, the Lord sent Nathan the prophet, and he gave this little story and parable, and David just got engrossed in that, in the indignity of what happened to this poor old man. He got discovered, didn't he? Nathan said, you're the man. As terrible as what David did, folks, you know what? I often thought of this. I've said it. Maybe someone heard me say this. A little later on, a few verses down, he said, I have sinned. What would you have said? What are you saying today? You know what you would have said or could have said? Well, if Bathsheba hadn't been out there on that rooftop taking a bath, none of this would happen. You know, none of this would happen, Nathan, if Uriah went and been with his wife like I tried to set up. That's hiding from the truth. Are you hiding from the truth this morning? Are you hiding from the real problem? Are you hiding from the real need? Are you hiding from the real answer? Are you hiding from what God is trying to show you? People hide from God. People hide from God. And folks, we're people. And only by the grace of God can we walk parallel and upright before Him. We must humble ourselves. There was another time when Christ went into a garden to pray. And He went back, and the guys that went with Him were asleep. They were found asleep. They were found asleep. But you know, on a lot of jobs, if not all jobs, just about it, if you're found asleep on the job, that's cause for immediate termination. I thought about Christ. He went back and He said, what? Could you not watch with me just a little while, just a short time? Could you not stay awake and be in agreement with me? My soul is anguished and troubled, and I needed your support and your prayers. What? Could you not have stayed with me just a little while? They were found asleep. Today you may be found asleep, spiritually asleep. God help us not to be there, but if we are, say, wake me up, Lord. God help us as the identity of the church of God, as the body of Christ, to put on our beautiful robes and awake unto righteousness and sin not, to be aware there's an enemy of our soul out there and he's not far away and he wants to creep in your heart and in your mind and in your marriage, in your congregation, in your ministry. He wants to creep in and plant subtle ideas that you and I will latch on to and start incorporating into our thinking, into our ways. And the first thing you know, we'll start taking on a different look. It won't be the look of holiness and of righteousness, of purity, of forgiveness, and of meekness, but it will be an image of pride, of vanity, of vexation of the spirit. It will be a look that's unlike the Lord. Oh, look, folks, the devil's out there. We need to keep in a situation when we get sick, we know what we're going to do. You know, a lot of times people get kind of spiritually asleep on divine healing. And then when they get something that's more than just a hangnail or a headache or a sprained ankle or a pulled muscle, then they start saying, what am I going to do? God help us to have it already settled. By the grace of the living God, I'm going to trust you, Lord. I want to get to that top ring regardless of what it takes, whatever it takes, Lord. Oh, how easily we can sing that song. But God comes down and he says, I'll see. He looks upon us and sees how we are found. Don't wait till you get cancer. Don't wait till you have a heart attack. Don't wait till you get something, diabetes. Don't wait till something terrible happens and then says, oh, Lord, what am I going to do? I'm not making fun of you. I'm challenging you. God, help us to have some things settled. By the grace of God, I know what I want to do, and by the grace of God, I'm going to do it. But don't become asleep when it comes to divine healing and of righteousness and of holiness. You've got little children. Don't wait till they start asking questions about sports. Settle it now what you're going to teach them. Settle it on modesty now before those little ones get up to an age where they can say and ask you questions you can't answer. Settle it. Don't be found asleep when that little one comes and says, oh, Daddy, I want to join the Little League and start playing baseball. I want to go out for the football team, etc. I want to be on the swimming team. I want to get in all the sports activities. Have it settled in your heart why and what and the answers. Don't get caught asleep. Don't get caught asleep, folks. Those little ones, they can put you on the spot just like that. And they can wake you up. And what happens then, we don't have an answer. Or we're too asleep to try to find the answer. And children love to say this. Everybody's doing it. And that touches his heart. You might as well admit it. It kind of, you want your child to fit in. I did mine. Sure we do. We want our child to be comfortable. And so when they say, but Mama, Daddy, everybody's on the football team. Everybody's going to see Star Wars. Everybody got Star Wars re-released now. Everybody's going to see the re-release of Star Wars. Touches you. Then you think, oh, well. The devil comes along and says, I must be depriving them. I don't want them to feel outcast. God help us not to be asleep, but that we be ready to give an answer of the hope that lies within us and not be asleep when we should be studying and meditating and praying and seeking God for guidance in life. Don't wait till you get sick and then try to explain divine healing. Don't wait till something catastrophe comes along and then say, oh, what kind of stand am I going to take? Don't be asleep. How are we walking today? How are we walking? How are we found? Are we found with a mind full of uncertainty? God has something better for you than that. He said over in Revelation something about being lukewarm. He said he'd spew you out of his mouth. One time when I was a wee lad of a boy, always been a little impulsive. And I've acted a lot more than I thought. I was playing outside summer day home. I don't know. Yay high. And I come in the house and I was thirsty and hungry. Thirsty and hungry. Yanked open that refrigerator and I saw what I thought was a couple of peaches in a bowl. Boy, that excited me. Little did I know, my mother had made lemon meringue pie that day. And she had separated the yolk and the white of the egg and whipped up and made the meringue. Well, being the frugal person we were in those days, I guess, we saved the egg yolk. I reach in there and my child, I'm going to blame it on childhood, but it's actually just impulsiveness and impatience and whatever. I grabbed up that little bowl with them two egg yolks in it, and I was fixing to have me two of the nicest peaches you've ever seen. I poured them in my mouth, and they got spewed out. God help us. The Lord said he would spew us out. Spew us out of his mouth. Didn't that would be a bad place, wouldn't it? That'd be a bad place to get into. God help us. Are you found there today? Is that fire that we heard about last night maybe a glow down underneath all the ashes of life? Or has it gone out? Is there just a real coolness to what God wants to be within our hearts? Thought of the word indifference. That's lukewarmness.
being indifferent to truth. When truth is preached, when you hear truth, when you observe God and His Word, and indifference to it. Oh, well. Them old wells will send you to that place that rhymes with it. God help us that we not let the old wells of indifference be our standard and be found in that lukewarm position in life. Paul told him in one place, he said, ye are yet carnal. Got a lot of things in another place maybe, or maybe the same place. I've got a lot of things to tell you. God has volumes for us. What heights could we go to? What could we do? And how could we soar? But sometimes we get so earthbound and so carnal in our thinking, God would deliver us of hatred and envy and strife and malice. God would take out that old rumor mill out of your life, but you're so earthbound, you can't soar with God. Oh, let us be. Break the table here, Lord. He said, you're yet carnal. All your thinking process is me, me, how they did me, how they treat me, what I can do, etc. How I like the food better in one place than I do the other. How I wish they'd do things different in Monarch, but we never lift our hand to do anything. God's got something better, folks. You can just soar along with us if you want to, or you can come on these grounds and say, I don't like the food. Well, you can go in there and cook the food, you know. I don't try to make jokes out of this, but you can go cook the food, you know. Well, I wish they'd pick up around here. If you back a bend, you can bend. You can pick up. Or if you can't, you can get a stick with a nail on it, and then you can pick up. But you see how we are. That's us without God. We'll complain about a dirty restroom and walk right out. And it comes right over into our spiritual life. We'll complain about our lot but not do anything about it. Husbands and wives will go for years. The spark of love is love and never do anything about it. Except blame the other one. She'd have done this if he'd have done that. God help us. Carnal. Carnal. Don't let it rule, folks. It'll ruin you. It'll ruin you. It'll kill you. It'll slay you. You'll cross that line on the plumb line, and you'll be on a crash course with hell. It's that serious, folks. We can't allow carnality to reign. We can't allow carnality to have place in our life. When we start listening to the flesh, we start turning down. May God help us to be faithful. How are we being found this morning? He said in one place, kind of turn the corner a little bit here. Turn with me over in 1 Peter 3 and 14. 2 Peter 3 and 14. How does God want us to be found? Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, talking about the Lord coming, I suppose, be diligent that ye be found of Him in peace. That is such an elusive thing to people. Peace. Such an elusive thing. God help us. Do you have peace this morning? Peace with God. Peace with your neighbor. Peace with your family. Peace with the church. Peace with the pastor. Peace with the laborers. Peace on the job. Oh, how much we desire peace, but it seems so elusive to us. And we just get sold under carnality to the point that we just don't see any way to have peace. That's a lie that the devil has established in your life. Jesus came to give us the peace that He had with God. No sin, no indifference, no backsliding, no lukewarmness, on fire and alive to our Lord Jesus Christ. Dead to sin, dead to the world, dead to self, but alive unto God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Now He said for you and me to be diligent. Be diligent. May God help us today. When He finds us, He'll find us diligent. Diligent. Are you being found diligent? Are we really with fear and trembling going about working on our salvation? Are we really considering the consequences of words and actions and deeds and thoughts that we entertain? Are we really considering the consequences of entertainment world or the sports world or the things that the world can have influences on us? Are we really considering and being diligent to consider the rumor mill? Are we really considering and being diligent to consider the virtue of holiness, of righteousness, and purity, and sinlessness? Are we really taking time to understand the virtue of the indwelling of Jesus Christ through the Holy Ghost? Are we diligent to think about it and work on it? He said, be diligent that we be found ready to serve Him in anything. Are you being found diligent? Or is that indifference kind of taking hold in your life? Lord help us. In Romans 6 and 1, it talks about baptism and talks about being the new life. Listen to what he said here, first two or three verses of Romans 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye that? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. I thought about that. Oh God, help us to be totally immersed in Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes what will happen to us, and I don't know how to explain this without raising a little controversy, and I don't mean that. Over here, we'll use one of these fellows or ladies over here. Everything seems to be right about being totally immersed in Christ, except when they went under, they left a hand sticking out. I'm not talking about literal baptism. I'm talking about spiritual baptism of the Holy Spirit and being immersed into Jesus Christ. Or we left a foot sticking out. Or we left a little bit of self, some way, sticking out. God wants us to be buried with Him. Sprinkling just doesn't bury. No way for me to do this and bury you in water. Can't do it. I could sprinkle all day and you'd never get buried. But I can take an individual and go over here to this baptistry, and he and I or she and I can get in that water. And I can take that person and I can lay them down and I can totally immerse them. Sprinkling won't do it. Are we trying to get by with being sprinkled? Are we trying to get by with just a relationship of, well, I was raised this way and I want to go to heaven and I'm going to go to the camp meetings and et cetera, but with inside there are things that are gnawing at me, eating at me, tearing at me, tugging at me, and influencing me in ways that I know is contrary to the standard of walking parallel with Christ, yet I will not do something about it. I want to say to us today, please be totally immersed in Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh. Be found of Him totally immersed this morning. And oh, I want to tell you something. You want freedom. You want joy. You want peace. You want love. You want to understand the deeper things of God. I want to cry out to us today, become immersed. Oh, we forfeit so much by walking around being sprinkled on. God, help us today to be totally immersed. Oh, you have long sought for peace. You've sought for that love. You've heard it preached. You've heard about perfect love. You've heard about peace. You've heard about all the divine things of God. But it seems like almost a fairy tale, an illusion. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't understand it. I don't see how it is. I'm always robbed of those things. Things keep coming up in my life, and I submit to those things that are coming out of me or in me. I want to say the answer to that is being totally immersed in Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh. But don't forget your people. And people make provisions for the flesh. And people justify themselves. And people excuse themselves. Only by being totally immersed can we quit that. And folks, there may be some of us right here today that need to quit. Just quite frankly, you need to quit justifying yourself. You need to quit excusing yourself. You need to quit saying, it's okay with me. You need to quit saying, well, my conscience doesn't bother me. Listen, folks, if your conscience doesn't bother you and what you're doing is not parallel with Jesus Christ, your conscience is wrong. Your conscience is wrong. If it violates, if the Bible tells me to forgive, and if I have said, well, I can't, but it's okay, folks, I'm wrong. I'm wrong. If the Bible tells me to be holy in my thought process and in my actions and in my deeds, but I harbor an unholy thought, folks, I'm wrong. So I would say to you today, if you're out there, you're excusing it, you're wrong. You're wrong. If you you've justified a lifestyle that's against God, you're wrong. If you have a feeling, an attitude that's against the Word of God and the plumb line, you're wrong. Your building will eventually crumble without God's help. May the Lord help us to be totally immersed this morning in Jesus Christ. He said that you and I should be found of Him in such a way that we're bearing fruit. You know, it's all right to be carried because I have been carried. It's all right to be helped because I have been helped. It's all right to cry on someone's shoulders because I've been there too and done that. But you know what I'm thinking about right now in fruit bearing? Comes a time when God wants us to bear some fruit. You're going to have those times when you are totally drained and you need someone just put their arms around you and hold you. It's okay. That's part of the family. But you know what? If we're not careful, we'll get in a state of enjoying that or liking that, and we just want somebody to carry us and hold us all the time. He said, quit ye like me and be strong. Put on the whole armor that you may be able to stand against the things of the devil. There comes a time when we have to become men, spiritually speaking, because we have to bear much fruit for the Lord. And it's hard to bear fruit at an angle. It's just hard. It's hard. Because you know, what happens is, them spots start showing up where you're not bearing fruit. And you're trying to bear fruit, but you just can't. You just can't. Something, God's got something better for us than that. Lord, help us. Paul, little scripture you know well. I'm almost the end here. This is an important scripture, I believe, in Philippians, the 3rd chapter. If I can find it. Philippians, the 3rd chapter, about the 9th verse. Paul talking about the things he had given up, counted them but dung, that he might win Christ. Speaking about the different things. But he said in this 9th verse, and be found in him. God help us this morning. Absolutely, totally, 100% want to be found in Jesus Christ. And if we're not, he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. The Lord is willing to accept you into his arms, and he's willing to help you correct the deficiency, the lukewarmness, whatever it may be. He said that I may be found of him, not having mine own righteousness. Oh, God, help us. That if by any means in the 11th verse I may attain to that top level. Oh, won't that be a day, saints? Come on home, son. Come on home. Oh, enter in. Won't that be something? But listen, what if we've got that old thing in our life? And it just won't go in. It just won't go in. It's fleshly. It's on the earth. It's earthy. And there you've been toting that thing along for 55 and a half years. And you can't figure out how to do this. Turn loose. That thing's got to be a buddy to you, a companion to you. You know what it is. You know what it is in your life. And you made a pact with it. You made a league with it. You decided you're going to walk just like this the rest of your life. God's got something better. So you've excused it, you've said all the reasons why I'm right and carrying this thing around with me. Then you die. So the Lord comes. And you go up there and the Lord looks at you and all you can do is hang your head in shame because this won't go in. It's of the flesh. It's of the earth. It's of the flesh and the blood that will not inherit the kingdom of the Lord. May God help us this morning that when He comes for us, He said in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he may sanctify and cleanse it, not just justify, not just get it by on a lukewarm condition, but a sanctified church, wholly set apart, devoted, all on the altar, a sacrificial church, a church that's totally devoted, a church that's been cleansed and washed in the blood and the Spirit of Jesus Christ. That's the standard of holiness God's looking for. He said that he may sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. You know, sometimes we get these little thoughts too. Well, that's not a spot. Well, that's not a wrinkle. That's just the way the shirt's made. No, it's any such thing too, see. You know, we are bad about picking. We're bad at trying to get caught on a technicality. I wouldn't make a good politician because they'd wipe me out on technicality. You know, I'd say, well, let's make a law to do so and so or make a rule or something, and they'd start throwing in the little technicalities, and I'd just say, I don't understand. We're somewhat attuned to finding little technicalities, little loopholes. The Lord just said any such thing. God help us. Is there any such thing in your life? Is there any such thing like spot or wrinkle or anything that you know God's not happy with in your life? Oh, that we may be found of Him, but that it should be holy and without blemish. How are we walking today? Oh, we parallel. How are we found today? How are we found? The Lord's come down here today, and He's found you. Are you Adam and Eve out there under the bush somewhere? Are you Noah on a ship to Tarsus, maybe? Jonah, rather. Are you disciples over here asleep somewhere? Where are you? Where are you? God, help us. Have we become blinded by selfishness to the point that the Lord finds us just blind and can't see afar off and lost our vision? Oh, He said, awake, O Zion. That's my cry to us today. Or has He found you today diligent? Up and about your Father's business. Has He found you bearing much fruit for Him? Has He found you with an amen, Lord? Has He found you working out your salvation with fear and trembling, with a real earnest knowledge of the consequence of missing heaven and the consequence of going to hell, of the consequence of letting a little sleep and a little slumber and a little folding of the hands to sleep creep into our lives? Has He found us on guard, watching, praying, diligent? That's where He wants to find you, saints. Does He see you on fire? Does He find you willing to go, willing to stay, willing to suffer? God's looking for us. So He comes around and looks at us daily, not just once in a while, but He daily looks at us. Where has God found you today? Where has God found you? Amen.